Turn to Psalm 54. While you're turning there, Dwayne Imes' brother unexpectedly passed away yesterday. He was here just a couple of months ago. And Danny, yeah. And so Kelly Harry's dad passed away yesterday. So everybody remember those families. Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They've not set God before them. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye has seen his desire upon mine enemies. Let's pray. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we come into your presence in the name of thy Son. And Lord, we, by your grace, are aware that we come only in his name and through him. And Lord, our great desire is that we might be found in him. We pray that you would preach your gospel to us by your Spirit, through your word, and give us hearing ears. Lord, enable us to worship your Son, exalt him in our midst, be our teacher. Lord, we pray for those grieving over loss. We pray that you'd be with those families. Give them grace to look to you and find their all in you. And Lord, we're asking that for ourselves, to enable us to find our all in thy dear Son. We confess our sins. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing. We are so thankful for the precious blood of your Son that makes us to be without guilt before you. Now, bless our time together. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to remind you that every psalm, without exception, is first the words of Christ. Anytime I read a psalm, I want to read them as the very words of Christ. I've heard before there's 22 messianic psalms. No, there are 150 messianic psalms. And every word said, first of all, is the word of Christ. So when we read Psalms 54, it's the words of Christ literally speaking. Let me show you an example of that. Turn to Psalm 69. There are so many examples, but Psalm 69. Verse 21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Is there any doubt who's speaking there? clear enough. The Lord said these words from the cross. Now look at the way verse 1 begins, and these are the words of Christ. He says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there's no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." Now, he's talking about what he experienced on the cross. And one of the glorious things about the psalm is we're given the very feelings of Christ while he was being forsaken by his Father. When he's talking about the floods coming into his soul, he's talking about what he experienced as the sinner's substitute. Verse 3, he says, "I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away." Only Christ can say that. Oh God, and look at this amazing verse. "Oh God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee." Now, we know he didn't sin in and of himself, but when my sin became his sin, he confessed it as his sin. My foolishness is not hid from thee, my sins. Isn't that, well, back to Psalm 54. Now, while we know these are first the words of Christ, as every psalm is, they're also the words of David. And that is how I'm going to look at this psalm. And I pray that we'll all be able to enter in to what David is saying. Like I said, I know first these are the words of Christ. And you can see that. But look how David begins this psalm. "Save me." You know, I counted 23 times in the psalms where David says, "Save me." What I need more than anything else is to be saved. I can't save myself. And I need to be saved. Lord, save me. I can't save myself. Lord, save me. Now look what he says. "Save me, O God, by thy name." Now, his name is who he is. It's the person behind the name. His name represents his attributes, his characteristics. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, when David says, "Save me by your name," he says, "Save me as an act of your sovereign will. Will my salvation. Save me as an act of your power. By your power, save me. By your justice, save me. By your holiness, save me. By your grace and your love and your mercy, save me." Now, when I'm calling on the name of the Lord, when I'm saying, "Save me by your name," I'm calling upon all of his attributes. Lord, save me by who you are. I need to be saved. Lord, save me. Save me by your name. And look what he says next. "And judge me by thy strength." Now those things seem almost incongruent, don't they? Save me and judge me? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45 for just a moment. Isaiah 45. Verse 20. "Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save." A God that cannot save, and you unless you let him save you, there's no point in praying to him. They have no knowledge that pray unto a false God that cannot save. Now look what he says next. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there's no God beside me, a just God and a Savior? Now don't miss that. He's first a just God, and he is a Savior. Now when he says, judge me, I'm calling upon the Lord because of what Christ did. Judge me. That's what justification is. Being judged by God. Judge me by thy strength. Now, the thing of the gospel is it's a thing of absolute justice. When Christ died on Calvary's tree, it was the justice of God who killed him because my sins became his sins and he became guilty of the commission of those sins. And I'm saying, judge me by thy strength, by thy power. Who's the power of God? Christ is the power of God, isn't he? You see the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ as the reason why God can judge you and you can be justified. Yes, I want to be saved by his name, by his gospel, but listen to this. The justice of God, because of the cross of Christ, the justice of God demands the salvation of everybody that Jesus Christ died for. Isn't that glorious? Judge me by thy strength. I was talking to a Muslim a few weeks ago, and the Lord opened up an opportunity to talk to him, and we talked about the gospel, talked about the character of God, and I made this statement to him. I said, the difference between my God and your God is my God is holy and just, and your God is not. And he kind of taken back from that. My God is the holy God. I said, wait a minute. I want you to think with me. Does your God forgive you when you commit grievous sins? And he said, yes. If I repent of those sins and if I'm sincere in my repentance. God looks into the heart and he knows whether or not you're sincere. Well, right off the bat, that makes your forgiveness dependent upon your sincerity. How well will you fare with that? But then I asked him again. I said, now what if you commit the same sin again? Will your God forgive you then if you commit that same sin again and again and again and again? And he said, well, yes, he will if I sincerely repent. Each time I have to be sincere. And what difference is that between most of what is called Christianity? No difference. I mean, one of the things that I could see clearly, there's no difference between the Muslim belief and the free will Arminian belief, you know, your sincere repentance. But then I gave him this example. I said, let's say a serial killer murders people. Maybe even your children or your grandchildren. He had grandchildren. I even used that example. I said, let's say a serial killer murders people. And then he says before the judge, I sincerely repent of what I've done. I'm sincere. I regret it. I wish I hadn't have done it. And the judge says, okay, you're set free. What do we have on our hands? The miscarriage of justice. We would get rid of a judge like that. He is no good to put that person back out in society. And what if he did it again? And then came before the judge again and said, I'm sorry. I repent. Now, I want you to understand this. Repentance is not being sorry. How sorry? When are you sorry enough? Repentance is not saying, well, I'll never commit that sin again. Repentance is repentance is a change of mind toward God, toward yourself. You see that you're nothing but sin. You agree with what God says about you. It's not how sorry and how sincere. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is a thing of justice. God is absolutely just. Sin must be punished. It is punished. He will only reward the righteous. In Christ, I'm righteous. I really am righteous. This is not pie in the sky. This is not make-believe. When the Lord said regarding that publican, I say unto you, that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. You know why? That man was without guilt before God. That is every believer's hope. So this is our prayer. Save me. And this is not a one-time prayer. I'm praying it right now. Lord, save me. I need saved. I need saved from God. He's the one I've sinned against. I need saved from God. I need saved from myself. I'm my biggest enemy. I'm my biggest problem. I need to be saved from my sins. Don't you love that verse of Scripture in Matthew 1:21? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's exactly what I need. I need saved from my sins. I can't save myself from my sins. Save me by your name, by your attributes, by who you are. Judge me by thy strength. He says in verse 2, hear my prayer, O God. You know, I don't want to be like that Pharisee. The scripture says he stood and prayed thus with himself. He thought he was praying to God, but he wasn't. He prayed thus with himself. His prayer got no further than the ceiling. I don't want to be that. Hear me, O God, and give ear to the words of my mouth. Hear what I'm saying. Verse 3. For strangers are risen up against me, and you can certainly see the Lord crying that from the cross when he was made sin, the one who knew no sin, strange to him, they've risen up against him. But I think that this word, I think this will be helpful in understanding this. Stranger means more than foreigner, but an enemy. And one of the definitions of this word is loathsome in breath. That's what a believer's sins are to him. Loathsome in breath. You know, you're around somebody, their breath is bad. That's your old nature. That's your sinful nature. You hate it. It's offensive to you. Strangers. This is the same word that's used to describe the strange woman, the prostitute. Strangers are risen up against me. And the thing that is, to a believer, his sin. He owns his sin. It's his sin. It's his fault. But it's a stranger that's risen up against him. I think of what Paul said in Romans 7:14. He said, speaking of every believer, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And Paul didn't say that till the Lord saved him. An unbeliever would never understand that. What's wrong with you then? But a believer understands because he sees sin like an unbeliever doesn't see sin. Two totally different views. And he said, I am carnal, sold under sin. And that's what the writer is saying. That's what David is saying. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. Now, yes, David's talking about men. If you read the title of the psalm, you see that this was a particular circumstance he was going through. But yet he's saying oppressors, strangers have risen up against me. He's talking about his sins, oppressors, terrible ones. Seek after my soul. They've not set God before them. They have no fear of God. Look at Psalm 36 for just a moment. Verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within whose heart? Whose heart? My heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. Now what he is talking about when he says this in my heart, he's talking about his old man, his old nature. It says in my heart. And you know, you see that. The only way you can see that is if you have a new nature. And if you have a new nature, you see that clearly. And that's what David is speaking of. Now look what he says in verse 4. Behold, God is mine helper. If God be for us, who can be against us? God is my helper. I think of what the writer to the Hebrews said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content, be satisfied with such things as you have. What do you have? Well, everything in Christ. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man can do unto me. Now, when I say he's my helper, I love to think about this. He helped me when he stood as my surety before time began and took complete responsibility for my salvation. The Father gave me him, and he took me and said, I'll be his Savior. And he knew then what he would experience. He knew he would be forsaken by God. He knew he would become my sin bearer. He knew everything. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But how he helped me when he took complete responsibility for my salvation. How he helped me when he came to this earth and was made flesh. You see, I'm flesh. He was made flesh. How he helped me when he kept God's holy law perfectly for me. Oh, how he helped me. How he helped me when he went to the cross voluntarily and paid for my sins and was forsaken by God. How he helped me. How he helped me when he died and satisfied all of God's claims against me. Perfectly satisfied God so that God satisfied with me. How he helped me. How he helped me when he was raised from the dead as my justification. How he helped me when he went back to heaven. You see, when he went back to heaven, you know who else went back to heaven? Everybody he represented. Scripture says we are seated together with him in the heavenlies. Well, you don't look like you're seated with him. To me, you're standing here in front of me. Well, the Bible still says I'm seated together in the heavenlies in Christ. I believe the word of God. That's how much he helped me. I mean, he helps me now as he intercedes for me. I love the passage of Scripture in 1 John 2, 1 and 2. John says, these things have I written unto you, that you sin not. Now, you hear that? These things are written that you sin not. In thought, in word, in deed, in motive, in imagination, there's never an excuse for sin. And you and I ought to make it our resolve to never sin again. Amen. When you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. When you do, and you do, and you do all the time, there's no excuse for it. There's no justification in it. You can't comfort yourself in well, you know, I can't help it. No, it's evil. When you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I have one representing me before the Father, my righteous Savior. And oh, how he's going to help me when he comes again. And I see him as he is. He makes himself known to me. Don't you love that thought? The Lord's my helper. God is my helper. He helps me. He helps me. Right now, he helps me. He represents me. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. Now, a couple of things about that. With regard to every believer, we uphold each other, don't we? We love each other. We got each other's back. We do, if we're believers. We uphold one another. That being said, everything that takes place, the Lord is with them that uphold my soul, and we uphold with it. But this is with regard to everything. We know that all things work together for good. Everything's upholding my soul. The bad things, the difficult things, everything, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things. Now he says in verse 5, he shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. Well, who are my enemies? My sins. My sins. Those are my biggest enemies. Now, I have people that wish me ill. There's no doubt about that. You have people that wish you ill. That's life. And I know this also. If somebody truly is my enemy, they're the Lord's enemy too, because I'm one with him. And inasmuch as they did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me, and as much as you did it not to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it not to me. But my chief enemies are my sins. And what's he going to do? He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. He put them away on the cross. He punished them. Cut them off in thy truth. Don't you want your enemies to be cut off? I want them cut off. Now, I'm not talking about my physical enemies. I don't wish anybody to go to hell. I don't. I wish, I know not everybody's going to be saved, but I don't desire hell for anybody. But I tell you what, I want my enemies cut off. And that's what he's talking about. Cut off mine enemies. And look what he says in thy truth, the truth of thy gospel. Verse 6, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. And that word freely is the same word David used in Psalm 110:3 when he said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now, I am willing, this is what I want, this is free. I want the only way, I present nothing but the sacrifice of Christ. That's what that means. I will free, this is what I want to do. I want to simply be found in him. The only thing I'll plead before God is the sacrifice of Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I will freely. Here's what I want. I want to simply be found in Christ. I want to be covered in the blood of Christ, so that all God sees is Jesus Christ. I freely offer up that sacrifice. I come only in the name of his Son. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it's good. The Lord's good. His name is good. Everything he does is good. The Lord is good all the time. It is so bad when we find fault with anything he does. Because everything he does is good, and it's good because he does it. No other reason is needed. I thank thee, O Father, these are the words of our Lord. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Let me ask you this question. If it's good in his sight, is it good in your sight? Yeah. Yeah. Verse 7, for he hath delivered me out of how much trouble? All trouble. He hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. Now, once again, does that mean, you know, somebody that is an enemy to you and you see something bad happen to them and you secretly feel good about it and think they had it coming? Now, me and you have thought that before, and it's evil, right? That is wrong, that it's evil to see something bad happen to somebody that has done you wrong, that they had it coming. But I tell you what, mine eye has seen his desire upon mine enemies, my sins. They've been put away, they've been crushed, and I'm going to stand before God without sin. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Okay.